In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom, Saint Joseph, Saint Cyril of Jerusalem, our patron saints and guardian angels. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Lord, in the Gospel today especially, is preaching against hypocrisy, especially hypocrisy in matters of religion. To have the appearance of religion, but not the actual practice of it. And because the Pharisees and the scribes, they liked all the external things, all the perks, you might say, that came with appearing to be religious or to be one of the holy people, but their works and their actions betrayed that. They had lost sight of what was the purpose of their religious practices, which, as our Lord points out at the end, is to help humble us. We should be, hopefully, doing our religious observances in a spirit of humility, and also to help us to acquire humility, because we're to be, the virtue of religion, of course, is to be the worship of God and not the worship of self. And so that is why it's so important to have humility, because we realize if you have humility, you are not God. You are one of his creatures and ought to be worshiping him. But the religious superiors of our Lord's day, those who were in positions of authority, our Lord was telling not to disobey them, because they still had legitimate authority. They still were the authorities that you should listen to. The chair of Moses was a position of authority. And those things which they legitimately gave a command, you should obey. But don't imitate them, because their practices and their practice is not at all the same. And they are giving bad example. And that reminds us today, you know, there's a lot of people today that are religious hypocrisy. They say they are Catholic, but their actions betray that. You know, whether it be the more noticeable ones, the Catholic politician who says he's Catholic, but he supports all kinds of abominations and grave sins, or the Catholic who says that they are, you know, Catholic and whatever else they contradict, whether it be the Catholic couple that practices contraception, birth control. That is hypocrisy, for that isn't the nature of Christian marriage, and is making a lie out of what they are to be fulfilling and giving witness to. So our Lord doesn't like hypocrisy. He doesn't like that. He wants people to be truly on the outside and on the inside the same. He doesn't like Reese's peanut butter cups. He wants them to be the same on the outside and the inside. This is where we need to always turn back in Lent and say, you know, where am I the hypocrite? Or what am I doing that is not in accord with what our Lord is asking of us and of me? Am I fulfilling my particular vocation, my duty, my state in life? And if so, then, you know, we will be truly making a good use of Lent. Today we also celebrate Saint Cyril of Jerusalem, a great doctor and bishop of the church, who had to deal with heresy in his day, especially the Arian heresy, which, you know, denied the divinity of Christ. And he, like Saint Athanasius, I think they may have been contemporaries, had to deal with this very far-reaching and spread all over the known Christian world at that time, the Arian heresy. and had to preach against it and had to suffer for preaching against it. It says that Saint Cyril was born in the vicinity of Jerusalem about the year 315. Having made great progress in the knowledge of the pagan philosophers and the fathers of the church, but above all in the sacred scriptures, he was ordained a priest about the year 345 by Maximus, Bishop of Jerusalem. About the end of the year 350, he succeeded Maximus in the See of Jerusalem. Saint Cyril entered upon his episcopal office at a time when the church was distracted by the Arian heresy. A difference arose between him and Acacius, the Arian bishop of Caesarea, who claimed jurisdiction over the Church of Jerusalem, a claim to which Saint Cyril did not submit. He was forced to take refuge at Tarsus for a time. It said that Saint Cyril had to flee three times during his term as a bishop. Three different times the Arian heretics wanted to force him off of the See of Jerusalem. And three times he had to flee for his safety and come back again, just like St. Athanasius had to run for his life on several occasions. At the death of Constantius, who was the emperor, and the accession of Julian, he was restored to his see. And Julian, this emperor Julian, of course, is Julian the Apostate. St. Cyril witnessed the vain attempt of Julian the Apostate to rebuild the Temple of Jerusalem with the concomitant miraculous circumstances that accompanied it. You know, Julian the Apostate, he because of something that he witnessed, his family was murdered by those who said that they were Christian. He started to have a deep hatred for Christianity. And so he's the one who wanted to undo his baptism, he thought, by bathing in bull's blood. And he did many other things to kind of wanted to wipe out the remembrance of Christianity and Christ. He is the one that also, started reinstituted the Saturnalia, the pagan festivals around the time when we celebrate Christmas, trying to get people distracted from celebrating Christmas. He also wanted to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem and wanted to aid the Jews because thought, well, if I rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, it will prove that Christ and his new covenant was not valid, or that, see, the Jews really are the true religion. But the attempts to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem had many miraculous obstacles that came into his way. There was balls of fire would come out of the ground where the temple's foundation was and killed the workers on several occasions, and other things which showed that God was not at all going to cooperate with Julian's plan of rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem. And finally, Julian said that his hatred for the church was really, he realized that it was hatred for Christ. That's who it was really the object of his hatred, in hating the church. Finally, he finally gave up and ended his own life. It said that Julian had determined to put an end to the life of Saint Cyril after his Persian expedition, but death prevented the execution of his design. So Saint Cyril even outlived his enemies and those who were out to destroy the church. As the church always does, it buries its persecutors. Saint Cyril was once more driven from his see in 367 by the Arian Emperor Valens, but he returned to it in 378 at the accession of Gratian. In 381, he assisted at the General Council of Constantinople and formally accepted the full Nicene Creed. And he died in the year 386. So Cyril of Jerusalem is truly a model of a Catholic who had to endure many trials and tribulations for the faith. And it should be a encouragement to us that, in every age there is going to be a persecution of the church, persecution on a big scale or little scale or personally or communally, you are a Catholic, you have a target on you. And so we should accept that and embrace it with all of our Catholic faith, hope, and charity, and be joyful to know, as our Lord said, rejoice that you know that you have been found worthy to be persecuted on his, for his name's sake. Today, as we continue our observance of Lent, let us, you know, not be hypocrites. Let us not, at the face of persecution or opposition, let us not deny our faith, but like Saint Cyril, you know, embrace it and defend it and suffer for it if necessary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.